Good morning. This morning I was wanting to talk to you about his resurrection. And I wanted to bring a message of remembrance to all of us. I know you might be thinking, well, that's easy. We just spent time thinking about him. And we just spent time in memorial to him. And we broke bread together to him. And for those of us who are in the audience today that are here, it is easy because we do have a ready recollection of that. But unfortunately, for many in the world, that's not the case. I read this morning to you about traditions of men. There's many of traditions that are not a problem. Matter of fact, some of you have traditions in your family. That's perfectly fine. We have traditions that we even in our own service that we have. But we have to be careful and mindful about traditions. And we know that there are many who woke up today who may have only gone to church one other time this year, and they're going to go again today due to a tradition. And so this morning I want to talk to us about something that we should have on the forefront of our minds at all times, not only on the first day of the week, but at all times, and that is his resurrection. You know, just as Paul did for Timothy, he encouraged him to remember daily the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to do for us today. This morning, I want to remind us that remembering his resurrection daily is as important for us as anything else. Way more important than any human tradition. Paul continued to encourage Timothy and remind him about Jesus. He reminded him that he had been born of the seed of David, and he had reminded him that he had raised from the dead according to his gospel. You know, there are many trials and tough times that some of us go through, hardships. Just as Jesus went through a very difficult time and hardship, he suffered much. But he overcame through his glorious resurrection. And that's what I want to spend time looking at this morning. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel." And in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, it says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls." We can be wearied and discouraged, but we have someone we can look to that is our author and finisher of our faith, who went through many more difficult things than we did. This morning, I've got a lot of scripture. I didn't know any other way to really do this than to read to you a lot of scripture. So I'm sorry that I'm going to do that, in the fact that it can be maybe tough to stay focused. But please listen to the things that I'm going to remind us of, and be mindful that this comes straight from the Bible, and that just like Paul and Timothy went through tough times, I'm going to remind us of some things that is easy for us, or should be easy for us to think about as we think on his resurrection. One of the things I wanted to think about before we get into his resurrection is, what if, and you see it on the behind me, what if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead? Would we even be here this morning? No, we wouldn't be. And so I wanted to go through some points that I feel like we should look at if he wasn't raised from the dead. If Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, preaching the gospel would be in vain. The preaching of the apostles would have been empty, meaningless. It would have been like, and this is the only thing I could even kind of correlate it to, it'd be like someone selling a product that's faulty. Have you ever had someone try to sell you something that either didn't work or you got it and it broke quickly? It would be like purchasing a brand new car that only ran long enough to get you home. But you went to start it the next morning and it didn't run. That's what it would be like. How many people would continue to purchase cars from that car dealership? Not very many. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 14, it says, "And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty." There would be no purpose, in preaching about a lie today. There wouldn't be a reason. Our faith would be in vain, and our faith would also be in a lie. If Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, then the apostles were false witnesses. An implication that Paul had admitted to. 1 Corinthians, and I'm reading some of these in 1 Corinthians, so if you want to turn there, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 15. "Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He did not raise up. In fact, the dead did not rise. For they swore that God raised Jesus from the dead." Acts chapter 2, verse 32 said, "Then Jesus God has raised up, of which we were all witnesses." They witnessed this, but imagine if it didn't happen. Then they would have been false witnesses. They claimed to spend 40 days with Him after His resurrection. What did they do in those 40 days? They ate with Him. They drank with Him. They did different things. Acts chapter 10, verses 39 through 41 says, "Are we witnesses of all things which He did, both in the land of the Jews and of Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree? Him God raised up on the third day and showed Him openly, not only to the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with Him after He arose from the dead." They spent time with Him. They physically saw this happen and the aftermath. There is no way the apostles could have been deceived or mistaken. It's impossible. Either they told the truth and they were deliberate liars about this, or deceivers and or frauds. That wasn't the case. If Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, then we are still in our sins. Our faith would be futile and we would still be sinners. How sad that would be. We wouldn't be here, but we would still be living in our sin and ultimately in death. 1 Corinthians 15, 17 says, "And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins." What a sad end that would be. Continuing on, if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, believers who have since died have perished forever. So think about that. We all know many who have believed in Christ that have gone on before us. But they would have just been believers and had perished forever. Those who died believing in Christ, 1 Corinthians 15, 18 says, "Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished." Well, yeah, they perished, but they would have perished forever had He not been raised. Their faith would have been in a false Messiah. They would have had no atonement for their sins, just like us. There would be no atonement. And dying in their sins, they would have no hope. Man, it feels awfully different, doesn't it, if He hadn't resurrected? What a sad existence those Christians would have had, and so would we today. If Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, Christians are to be pitied. If their hope in Christ relates only to His life, then they would be pitied. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19. "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable." If that's all we did is just had His life, then we would be pitied. Because what are you believing in? We would be pitiful because we believe in a false Messiah. Because our faith in Him leads us to refrain from things that worldly people find pleasure in. Oh, how sad that would be. We would just be pitied. We would often be ridiculed or persecuted for our faith. Not much different than today, but especially if He hadn't raised. All of the previous items that we have shown here, that I've shown behind me, are the implications if Jesus had not raised from the dead. So now let's take a minute, let's review. Since we know that Jesus raised from the dead, let's look at that. Let's look at what that means to us. What a totally different story. His resurrection verifies our justification. You see, if we look, Paul notes and makes mention of the consequence of His resurrection. In Romans chapter 4, verse 24 and 25, "But also for us, it shall be imputed to us who believe in Him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification." See, it was necessary because of our offenses. And we're thankful that He did raise for our justification. Jesus claimed His blood would be adequate for the remission of our sins. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 28, it says, "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." By Jesus raising from the dead, God demonstrated His acceptance. His acceptance of Jesus as a sacrifice for our sins. Romans chapter 8, verses 33 and 34 says, "Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercessions for us." What an awesome thing that He did resurrect so that He can make intercession for us. His resurrection demonstrates God's power towards us. The greatness of which Paul wanted the Christians then and now to know. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 and 20 says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what exceedingly greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in heavenly places." What a powerful thing that is. Powerful thing for Him and for those previous Christians who have passed on, and for us today. We receive power through that resurrection. Power involved in our conversion. There was power in us being converted and raising to a new life. Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 says, "In Him you are also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead." 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21 says, "There is also an antitype which saves us, baptism, not the removal of filth of the flesh, but the answer of good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Power is available, power available to live the Christian life. For God is working within us. Have you thought about that power that works within you? We have power that works in us because He resurrected. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13 says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do His good pleasure." Have you thought about the ability to do the things that we do are through His power in us? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Ephesians 3:20, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. I could go on and on. Ephesians 6 and 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power in His might. We are powerful only through Him. Only through Him being in us. And only through Him resurrecting. Had that not happened, we'd be powerless. His resurrection provides hope concerning our own resurrection. His resurrection gives us a living hope. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And a little further down in verse 21, it says, who through Him believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. We have faith and hope in God so someday we, just like Him, will resurrect. So that we, like Him, can be seated in heaven with Him. Especially concerning the resurrection of believers. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 and 14. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. Man, what a good feeling. What a great verse to read versus what we read before. And that is, if He had not resurrected. Wouldn't it be a sad thing for us to think about all those who had died and gone on before us who were Christians? If He hadn't resurrected, what things they wouldn't have coming to them? See, we believe, that verse tells us, for those of us who believe in Jesus, who died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Him. Those who have gone on before Him. Those of us today who believe and will someday die as well. But we can be resurrected. His resurrection demands our complete loyalty to Jesus. Because He resurrected, we are to be loyal to Him. He died and rose again. He raised and then exalted and was exalted to become our Lord. Acts 2 and 32 through verse 36. Then Jesus God raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says of himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. He was raised and then He was exalted to become our Lord. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 20 through 23 says, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also that which is to come. And He put all things under His feet, and He gave Him to be head over all things in the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Therefore, our lives are to be dedicated to Him. Romans chapter 14, verse 7 and 8. For none of us live to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. This is where, unfortunately, a lot of people are confused. Many people are not living for the Lord. Many people have been caught up in a tradition that says, whether I believe or not, I'll go to church a couple times a year. I'll go to celebrate His birth, and I'm going to go and I'll celebrate His resurrection. But as we read this morning, and as we sang about, is there anything in their life that, or in their heart, that is really close to God? The answer is no. And for us, that must be totally different. We must completely live for Him. As it says, for if we're going to live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we're going to die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or we die, we are who? We are the Lord's. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, and He died for all, that those who should live, live no longer for themselves, but for Him whom died for them and rose again. I've read a lot of scriptures today, and I'm not going to read any more, but I think it's important for us to understand. There are thousands, probably today, who are doing something that's very unique for them. And you hope that that might catch, and that might, a seed might be planted that makes them realize that just thinking of their Lord and Savior a couple times a year is not going to work. And as we talk about traditions, we talk about things that we do, we talk about things that we read of, there are many things that we read of that we observe. We observed the Lord's Supper. We partake of that every Lord's Day. But we can't go through that and just forget its meaning. We can't do that and be on autopilot. No different than someone might go to church twice a year, just on autopilot, because that's what their parents maybe did. Or maybe that's what they think is the right thing to do. We have to be careful as well. The impact of His resurrection, that Jesus rose, is monumental. And I hope, as I've shown, essential in our life. If He hadn't raised, He had lived this awesome, perfect life, and He died, and that's all that happened, that would be like the first part of what we just talked about. We would have no hope. We would be pitied. We would be living for something that would be completely empty. As believers, we must never lose sight of the significance of that resurrection. And whether you're an unbeliever, or like us believers, we must understand that no one can come to the Father but through Him. We must remember that His blood was shed for all of our sins. He came to offer an abundant life, and He went to prepare a place for us. And hopefully by living for Him and through Him and Him in us, we will, just like He did, resurrect again. I want to leave a couple questions with you this morning. Does your life demonstrate that you serve our risen Lord and Savior? When people see you, when they live about you, and they're your neighbor, or you go to work, does your life demonstrate that you are serving a risen Savior? And the second question is, do you possess the hope, peace, and strength that the reality of the power of His resurrection gives us as a Christian? We are given an unbelievable power by Him resurrecting. May we never forget that significance. This morning, I hope I've given you some things to remember. Maybe I've given you some things as you get ready to go to work tomorrow and you talk with people that maybe went to church for the first time or that once or twice a time a year. Maybe it's a perfect opportunity for you to talk to them about why thinking about that once or twice is not okay. Why we celebrate His resurrection weekly and how important that is to us. And it might give or might water a seed that was planted today somewhere. So I hope that I've caused you to think. I hope that I have caused you to realize the power that that has given us and what an awesome thing it is that He died for us and He was resurrected. So I'll leave that with you as we stand and sing.
620. In the rhythm.